Capital 264. Hi, welcome to Politics and Beyond. I'm Tawanda Henry Beattie.
And I'm Upenyu Makuni Matenga. Welcome to the best political Zimbabwean political podcast in the multiverse.
Yes, across many, many places. And as you can hear today, it's just me and Upenyu. Chris is busy.
Was reshuffled.
He was reshuffled. Yes, he refused to get behind us, so he said he can go and form his own party.
As the president's secretary and chairman and what, I ordered that he re-examine his motivations.
Yeah, there were too many insults coming from Masvingo and Manigaland there. But, yeah, welcome. This is a very quick supplementary episode. Well, I suppose it might be the episode of the week, but we only have two major topics to speak on today. Those namely being the arrest of Martha Donovan, O'Donovan. Martha O'Donovan, a 25-year-old Fulbright scholar, an American citizen, as well as an employee of the Magamba Network. And then the goings on at the Blueo Youth Interface Rally, and the comments there. So, very quick episode. Like we promised, we're going to try and keep these episodes under 45 minutes so that they're more digestible. So, we'll get straight into it. Free Martha.
So, Free Martha. Martha O'Donovan was arrested for allegedly insulting President Robert Mugabe. She is charged with subversion and insulting the president under PORSA. I don't quite remember which section that was, though. Do you know?
She's actually, I think she was, her warrant and caution statement says she's actually charged with Section 33(2) of the Criminal Law Codification Reform Act, which is undermining authority and insulting the president. And then her charge sheet had attempting to overthrow a government. So neither of them are PORSA, actually. Funnily enough. Yeah, so her arrest was... Yeah, so they're insulting the president and then trying to overthrow the government.
These are very serious charges. You know, my problem with the charge is that it's a serious charge, but the actual offense committed is retweeting. And the substance of what has been retweeted in... I don't understand the thread. Does that make sense? Between what has been retweeted and the charge. How do you draw the line from, you know, between the two?
That was at a arrest. When they went to court, the charge sheet was sort of expanded, and it's not for the crime of retweeting. She's actually being charged of tweeting under the handle of Matigari. So it's not that she's being said ndiye Matigari wacho. So if we to say that the tweet was attempting to overthrow the government, she's the one that's being charged with actually tweeting the tweet, as opposed to simply retweeting someone else's opinion.
Isn't this problematic?
Quite. Very.
So, because I don't see how the charges can stick. Does that make sense? Like, when we go through due process and so forth, and she has her day in court, I don't see how the charge can tweet, particularly because following her arrest, where presumably she has no access to internet or, you know, mobile or devices, Matigari has continued to tweet.
Yeah.
And again, the charge itself and the actual, what she did, the line is very, very thin for me.
It's, I mean, so. Clearly, that's the, I don't think this is persecution by prosecution. They're doing it to send a message. Now the question is, who are they actually sending the message to? Is it purely to us citizens, or is it also sending an international message as well?
That is interesting. I think the fact that she's an American citizen is very pertinent to this case. I think it's not just about the tweet. I don't think it's even about her as a human being. I think it's about what she is and what she represents. But I guess we wait to see the case as it develops. She's due, I believe her lawyers will file for bail at the, is it the High Court tomorrow?
Yeah, so just on that, her first initial hearing, which happened yesterday, we're recording today on Sunday, the 5th of November, and in case Grace Mugabe says something ridiculous at her meeting with Maposori today, we're recording at about 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. Zimbabwean time, so that hasn't happened yet, in case we missed something. But yesterday, the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights attempted to get her bail or released out of custody, and the court dismissed that application. My understanding, limited as it is, because I only have tweets to go from, is that they were arguing that the actual arrest itself was unprocedural, and, you know, they tried to bring some constitutional arguments in there, but I think the main thing was on a procedural basis. The charges were amended before they came. It took 6 hours for her to sign a warrant and caution statement, so she was in custody for 6 hours. You know, basically they were saying that the client was basically improperly before the court because it didn't really inform her of the reasons for arrest. And right now the bail hearing was actually more not about whether she had committed the crime or not. They were trying to get out by saying that she just shouldn't be there because the police hadn't followed the proper procedure, and once they had done the proper procedure, then she should be in front of the court. And the magistrate court dismissed that because there's no magistrate brave enough to actually to ever release someone under such circumstances. So we wait for their application to the High Court tomorrow, and I'm sure if the High Court says no, they'll go on to the Supreme Court. But the magistrate ruled that she's to be remanded in custody until the 15th of November. On the actual charges, if you remember last year, Douglas Monzoro, this SG of the MDC, called President Mugabe a goblin as well. And it, in this ruling, because I think he was effectively acquitted of that charge, in his ruling.
Yes, he was.
It's ruling, I'll just read this little section of what the judge said in that case. A patently false statement to the effect that the president is a goblin was unlikely to deceive any right-thinking person into believing it is true. It was unlikely to engender in the hearer feelings of his hostility towards the president. In other words, a statement that is patently false, as no right-thinking person can believe it to be true, cannot carry the intent to inflame in the audience feelings of hostility towards the president. So Nyaye has already been ruled, especially particularly in the world to regards to the word goblin, because the tweets basically said goblin and his wife importing Rolls Royces and buying diamond rings. So unless they're saying that there's more to why she was arrested, I don't think that they really have a case. I think they're more interested in what she has on her computers and what her role is with Magamba, which will lead us into speculation alert. And I don't know if you want to start with the speculation.
No, no, thank you. Let's not do that.
You don't want to speculate.
Ah, shaggy.
From my part, I think the silence of the American embassy in regards to this arrest, and in fact, it seems the pointed ignoring of this arrest by Ambassador Harry K. Thomas, in as far as that he's still tweeting from Vic Falls on his holiday, while an American citizen has been taken into custody, is telling. I think
You don't believe there's any behind-the-scenes back-channeling? Any negotiations happening behind the scenes? I mean, American, you know, they're famous for we don't leave any of our own behind. At least that's the propaganda that's in the movies.
Yeah, no, they are famous for that, and that's why I'm saying that it's very interesting that they're quiet about it. Generally, if an American tourist is arrested for something like drugs, the ambassador will, at least from my experience, and an ambassador would generally come out and say, oh, let the course of the law go forward. We'll try and provide legal support, or we've gotten in contact with their family. Maybe we'll hear something on Monday when he's back from his holiday. But the times that the American government does keep quiet, generally, you find that they are aware of what their citizen was doing and why their citizen was in that position, and would rather not comment publicly on it for fear of embarrassing themselves.
Oh, also plausible deniability, I suppose.
Yeah, so, you know, for American employees, government employees, whether they're employed clandestinely or not, that's when you generally see backroom dealing and backroom peddling. Had she been a tourist or purely here on there, you know, maybe we'll see tomorrow there'll be a change. But that's just more than association with Magamba, more than everything else, my general belief is just the silence speaks volumes, that they would rather do this behind closed doors.
Well, now I want to speculate a little bit, but more about... I don't want to speculate about the ones who can arrest me.
Okay.
I'm scared. But I do want to speculate about... Because presumably then, let's assume that she is an employee of the American government, say, and she was, because my issue is that how effective, because what we're talking about is satire as a means of raising consciousness, right?
Yeah.
Which is what the Magamba program is about. And we're talking about programs such as Open Pali, which is a means to a more open and transparent government, and particularly with regards to the legislature, which is parliament. I see what's wrong, but I still don't get it. So maybe you can help me understand this, because there is no country where people don't make fun of the government. You know what I'm saying? And for us, it's become making fun of the government and laughing at these people has become a coping mechanism more than it is a means of getting people out on the streets or engaging in actual revolution. So what I'm saying is, if I was the government of the day, I would let it be. Do you know what I mean? Because all it does is, much like the existence of the opposition, is it leaves me to do what I want to do.
Yeah. I think that post Arab Spring, the role of artists, activists, hubs for information and online spheres has probably become more of a tool of interest for, you know, the West and for everyone. And it's also something that our government is very highly aware of. So you look at someone like Martha, who her studies have been in the politics of human rights and development in African cities. That's what she studied at NYU, particularly mm-hmm. her work with artists and activists and how they pertain to human rights and development. So in terms of effectiveness, I think that you create hubs of discontent. You create, you know, I'm forgetting the name off the top of my head, but I remember during when you're studying the, you know, the October Revolution in Russia, the communists and stuff, there were these cafes where people would speak and, you know, you'd be sitting and listening. So you create hubs of innovation, or as you say, but generally they also after hours or whenever hubs of discontent. So I think Magamba is one of those places. It's generally a hub of, it's very good. It provides a central place for artists to meet, but it can also be seen as a center or focus of counterculture.
Yeah.
So its effectiveness, as I can't really judge, because
that's actually the crux of my argument. That yes, I get it, but let's talk about effectiveness. And for me personally, as a human being, I don't necessarily, because we're now talking about access, and we're talking about who has access to the content, who has access to the message, and who is accessing the services. I don't necessarily think that when you're trying to create a hub of discontent, it's necessarily correctly placed to be effective. Because if we're talking about, for instance, even engaging with Parliament, it's online, it's on Twitter. And I'm not going to go into the statistics of how many Zimbabweans who are actually in Zimbabwe access Twitter and engage with Twitter, let alone even know about Open Parli. But at the same, and maybe this is just from me, 10 years of frustration. You know, when you create projects like this that are supposedly there to help people engage with issues rather than, you know, the politics and the screaming at rallies, sometimes what it appears to be is not necessarily what it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense. But you're not looking at it from a paranoid regime that is main threat since maybe 2008, or has been, you know, the organized protests focused around Pastor Evan. You're not looking at from a regime that doesn't know how to react to some of these things. So I think, and I understand you're saying, let's not overemphasize how much influence Magamba would have on an election or anything like that. Or their capability of ever overthrowing the government because of a tweet, because that's ridiculous at this point.
It's the same thing as the thing with Pastor Evan. Pastor Evan isn't saying, let's take to the streets, let's march, let's not. You know, he's venting. He's a frustrated person. He's venting. That's not the same as organizing.
Yeah. So people don't, the government obviously doesn't understand that. The police at least don't understand that. And the thing is, if they are receiving direct instructions from someone, either the new Minister of Cyber Warfare and Security, if the instructions are coming from him, or if the instructions are coming from the new Minister of Justice, which is a possibility as well, because he was head of the C10, or if they're perhaps coming from the Minister of Home Affairs, we don't know who necessarily okayed on this arrest, if it was okayed by anyone. And if it was okayed by anyone, particularly these ministers, you would assume that it's for a larger reason than just simply the tweets and even simply her work with Magamba. It might be, guys, hands off Zim for 2018. We know who you are.
Ah, I see.
It might be simply, please get your guys out. We've let you do your thing. But now the elections are coming, a Chad. Chimuzukrekumba.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that then leads to further implications for the degree of free credibility, rather, of the 2018 elections, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they don't care. We haven't had Western observers since 2002.
That's true, too.
So the thing is...
Yeah. I'm vexed.
What the one way we could have had any form of Western observation or... is how effective something like Magamba or Open Parley is going to be in 2018 in terms of getting election irregularities out. If you remember that video of TB from 2013 at Mount Pleasant, how that went viral so quickly. Can you imagine now in 2018 where you can essentially get a smartphone at every polling station in the country if the opposition is organized?
Yes, that's true.
And if you have a place or an account like Magamba, Open Parley or whatever to be able to distribute it through.
But potentially everybody is a Magamba or an Open Parley. I mean, that's the multiplier effect of social media.
Yeah, but the message is everyone is like this, but please, America, stop funding them. Otherwise, we'll arrest the citizen.
Yeah, we'll arrest all them. All them. Okay. I'm with you.
So, moving on, I guess, unless, have we missed anything?
No, just that to say this is a trend across Africa.
Of course, it's a trend across Africa and across people learn from the Arab Spring. Leaders aren't stupid. As soon as they saw what happened in the Arab Spring, everyone learned. Quickly.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah, because nobody wants to retire. Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
I found we were talking about these before. I found those tweets regarding some little drama that happened in Parliament this week. I know you missed it.
Yeah.
Why
you gotta say it like that though? I know you missed it. You know.
No. It was one of those things that happened so quickly that no one really spoke about it, but it's just before we get into the events of yesterday's Blue Air rally. I think it's very enlightening. Because VP Mfoko told Les Gisteles that the new Justice Minister Bonungwe is the new leader of government business in Parliament. And there seemed to be some disconcertation in Parliament about that. With some parliamentaries arguing that Vice President Mnangagwa is still the leader of business. Then obviously your favorite legislator Themba Mlisa was throwing shots,
Themba's number one.
when Emerson came into Parliament, Bonyongwe gave his seat to him, and then he said, Themba stood up and said, on a point of order, is that we really missed Vice President Mnangagwa because he used to deliver when he was leader of the House. Then it came back to the Nyayema allowance, with Mr. Bonyongwe obviously being asked about the parliamentary and welfare, which they were successful, so they're sitting now. I think they've been told they're getting $4 million collectively.
$24,000 in CDF funds, $2,000 in allowances, plus a stand. Everybody's a winner.
Where are they getting stands from? How are they making land? Like one of
Oruprintelengu Gemini in Mabonas. You know, I actually think that because coincidentally, Barclays has shut down the ability to make external payments via their Visa. Their Visa card.
Yeah.
And but I do think that that's where the money is coming from. It's further raiding of Nostra accounts. And yes, they are printing bond notes more than, I think what they're saying they're printing and what is actually being printed are two very different things.
Yeah.
So, leads to further liquidity issues, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, Tim, I'm sorry. But, so anyway, that happened. And then we moved to Kwabluwayo Nezuru.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true that in fact I know it's true for a fact Kwabluwayo means the place where they spilled blood.
Kwabluwayo, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think
historically it means corrected. The place of a battle or something like that, because it certainly was a massacre of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking it up now.
Okay, while you do that, for those that don't know, for those that haven't heard, the goblin and his wife.
But comrades, why? Why are you trying to take me down?
No. As a disclaimer, this voice is Tawanda Henry Kwesi Biti speaking. And I'm the one referring to the goblin as the goblin and his wife as the goblin's wife. What is the female version of a goblin?
Maybe a goblinette.
A goblinette.
But for anyone associated with intelligence services, I completely dissociate myself from any goblin-related statements. Ndrungo batrao.
Ox. Goblins, orcs. Anyway, Robert Mugabe was on a warpath yesterday. I believe it started with Comrade Dr. Grace Mugabe. And my understanding of what happened was in the events of the day when Vice President Mnangagwa came, he received a very loud cheer. As he does these days, because, you know, even people in ZANU-PF generally like him. And I think it's because he's under siege more than anything else. Then he came in and he did his usual slogans. In fact, he even said, Pamberina Dr. RG, Dr. Grace Mugabe, Pasinemandu. And then he sat down. And then rally progressed as usual. We're just trying to get through the timeline quickly here. Then, predictably, Grace Mugabe stood up with fire in her belly to Dr. Stopit was in fine form. But she was booed by certain sections of the crowd. So she was told or tipped off that she would be booed, and in fact believes that these people who were booing her were Lacoste functionaries. And in her speech, I should have really been prepared for this. I'm trying to bring it up. But in her speech, she said that we want our, the women, that is the women of ZANU-PF, want their vice presidency seats back that Mnangagwa had been keeping warm since they got rid of Vice President Munjuru. And then she said that even if it's me who occupies that seat, because am I not a member of the party? And when I'm working for the party, am I not doing party work? I'm not doing work from our house. So I'm also a human being and I can be vice president. So it was an open declaration of everything that some of us have been saying since... since there was that video of Chiangwa... Shadrick Mashaya Mombe, these grown ass men in these cars saying "Munwezi kuna mai," and if that was the most perverse thing I had seen, and I said, "No, this person is definitely working towards being president and the first step towards being president. This was before she'd even become leader of the women in ZANU-PF. So the first step was leader of women in ZANU-PF. Second step was vice president. And if she's vice president after 2018, then we know that if the goblin goes to wherever goblins go when they perish, she will be first in line. Mm-hmm. To hell, they go to hell, don't they? Well, but even hell might be too nice.
Maybe
go somewhere warm.
You know, I refuse to speculate on anything goblin related with you. I'm not coming. I'm not going to jail for
you. Wait, by saying that she's trying to end up insulting the president by saying the goblin and his wife. Are they tacitly agreeing?
The
president is a goblin.
You know, I was wondering if somebody would ask that question. Are you saying?
Because do you what type definition you could mgabende goblin? Because what's vumawega? So you yourself can no longer be in trouble for calling him goblin. Because the police...
Because by... Yes, have said
the ones that
is.
Have given us this, Kuti, the president is goblin. So it now goes... He's now comrade Robert Gabriel Mugabe, the first secretary of ZANU-PF, leader of the defense forces and goblin in chief.
Again, to anyone whose security forces is related.
Am I being unreasonable?
I don't think you're being unreasonable, but, you know, when people are arrested, no one is asking about reason. No one is reasoning. They're just arresting. And now I'm going to not go over one life. So, I've worked hard to speak.
Shout out to Kathy on the group with that question about...
That question.
About where the lies affects...
Yeah. Kathy, let's be friends.
Shout out to Comrade Mark Katsaura, who's buoyed as G40 is on the upper end right now. Congratulations to you and your faction.
Yeah, let's come back to the rally. Listen, for me, what was most interesting is both rallies. Did you talk about Mugabe's rally as well?
No, maybe I was getting. Because I thought Mugabe was so angry because his wife had been booed. Because he knew Anuzokwadura Upanushka Kumba because she was angry if he hadn't stepped up to him, stepped up for her.
Yes. Je sais, Jojo, because you know, you don't, as a man, I feel like you don't want to go home and then your wife is like, and then the people said, you just don't need those problems.
Yeah.
you know, I think he just wants to nap most of the time. But I do think that it's, yes, you're right. I do think that it's interesting and very significant that she has openly stated that she does aspire to be vice president. I hope she will do the same about the presidency sooner rather than later. What's on the playing field? But with regards to the booing, you know, you shouldn't take it personally. I think as a leader, you just need to grow a thick skin. And people are not always going to... But people are not always going to agree with what you say. And so there's a... she's just not politically mature. And for me, it leaves a very bad taste in my mouth. And I'm afraid of the day Amai Mugabe becomes president. But yeah, we wait to see.
Just to pick up a few quotes from the president, I think people need to... realize just how charged he was. I'm sorry, give me a second. So today, he said about Mnangagwa, we cannot have what is happening in Mashingo and Midlands, where we're told these provinces are not President Mugabe's, but they belong to VP Mnangagwa. I'm told off daily in the name of Mnangagwa. Did I make a mistake in appointing him as a VP? If I made a mistake by appointing him, tell me, I'll remove him now. We are not afraid of anyone. We can decide even here. I will stand in front and have him do the same. Those who want to be with me, join me, and those who want to be with him, go to him. Today we've reached the tail end of the interface, and we get all this nonsense. I do not like this. So to the people in Masvingo with their attitude, you can go ahead and form your own party, because we honestly cannot have this. We cannot be insulted on a day-to-day basis. And that's a paraphrase, and in fact, I was reading off the Herald website, so I think that they perhaps have, you know, sanitized that. But he basically told him, I'll get rid of you. And as the appointing authority, he's been all but fired in name only. In fact, I don't even remember. There was one interview, I think, where Joyce Mujuru was told any clearer than this.
Yeah.
So if we're going by history, I think it's the end of Emerson.
What I'm wondering is why it seems like a slow way to die. You know what I mean? Like, you want to watch him suffer. I mean, most notably, he was clapping while he was being taken apart piece by piece. And
no, he clapped at the end of the speech like everyone.
But it seems particularly cruel, don't you think? You know, to do that.
I said on Twitter, if you feel sorry for Emerson Uriduzi, and if you support Grace.
Comrades, I'm not going
to. No, but there's nothing wrong to say that he won't be in ZANU for long, so it's okay.
But it does seem particularly cruel, and within the ranks of those who are still aligned to the president and Amai Mugabe, it doesn't necessarily engender trust, neither does it engender confidence that the first family will not turn on the, you know what I mean? It doesn't build confidence, neither does it build faith that it's going to be okay even after Mnangagwa's gone for anyone. No one is safe in the party. Is what I'm trying to say. Because Mangwana lakamuka waita pillow talk yao, you don't know if your head is going to be on the chopping block. I mean, for instance, right now we're talking about Dr. Sikiramai being the one to follow Mugabe, are we not? But if Mangwana, they decide that then he will also be the next one who's being attacked at these rallies. And the same goes for anyone, Jonathan Moyo, Patrick Shuao, even Bunyongwe Wacho. So this strategy is completely, I think it's a bad strategy, because what I would want to see is a stronger, well, I mean, if, you know, I was doing it for ZANU-PF, I would want to see a stronger ZANU-PF after the elections, but it does seem to me that they are going to have to start the process of rebuilding the party in its entirety once they've secured a 2018 victory.
Yeah. But you assume they're doing it for ZANU-PF. They're doing it for themselves. Chini Grace is ensuring a survival post Robert's death, right?
But do you think I'm not stronger after Robert? That's
no,
my
of course
question.
Not. Of course not. But this is the path she's decided to take. And Sekermai was a distraction. They threw him out there so that we would focus on him for a while, and then. But Grace's endgame had always been to be vice president. Sidi Sekamrawa is never in contention. They're not going to have three vice presidents. They can't take it away from Poco because he occupies the ZAPU seat and he's been loyal. So the only person. So Sekamrawa was just a more palatable. Person to be thrown out there so that they can focus on him while they're destroying Emerson. But she said it yesterday unequivocally, because it must go back to a woman, and if that woman is me, what's wrong with that? And even, cool. In fact, she even brought up the example, yekuti inga iwewe Emerson wakasira constituency kuna mzimai wake. Because Emerson did that, he left a constituency and his wife became the member of parliament afterwards.
Oh,
so it was
nice.
Almost the question as to what's wrong with Mugabe leaving the presidency to me, seeing as you've already set the precedent for that.
Wow. Yeah. you know, my mind boggles. For all of Mugabe's, this is not what is in the constitution, neither the ZANU-PF constitution nor the country's constitution, which seems to come third always to party politics. It seems very away from, I think a few podcasts ago we were talking about how Mugabe has never deviated from script when it comes to the constitutionality. I mean, even land reform, they enacted a law in parliament before they start, well, I mean, they started grabbing farms, but then they enacted a law. So this is, I mean, it's super constitutional, regardless of which one you're looking at.
No, no, but
I'm surprised by Mugabe.
Oh, no, no, there's no surprise. I think my summary was a bit incomplete because I was trying to get to the juicy bits. Said that, Vachina Chinamasa, please amend the constitution to bring back the woman's vice president seat that we took away from Joyce Mujuru. We want our seat back. We want you to amend this constitution before we even get to Congress, so that, so they're just going to amend it like they did when they removed Joyce.
Yeah. Well, at least she's learning from her husband. That gives me a little bit of faith. What can I say? What do I have left? What dignity have I got left?
That's an oxymoron. I don't think anything Grace has ever done. But yeah. So yeah, that's basically where I think that's basically where we can sort of wrap up in terms of that. I don't see anything else happening to save Emerson, and it's really annoying to me because I think I had just learned how to pronounce his name properly, so
aww,
now he has to go, and I, you know, now I have to learn how to pronounce Pekezile.
Pekezile.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
And yeah, so just to clarify, Chris just sent a message on the group. I think, like I said, I think Anga Chichka, because Lacoste right now, when we say Lacoste, what's the gram vura? My gay choir, they're hiding. I'm joking.
Are you really?
For the purposes of this podcast, I'm joking. Jeez, can you imagine? Imagine being Emerson on that drive, that long drive from Blueo, because I don't think we're going to helicopter anymore. I think I'm going to road. And every
eating ice cream or samosas, God knows what now.
My must just look at you like, chero go small house no ramba umira jamwari.
You think a small house is like, not today,
The thing about small houses is that they're incredibly opportunistic. So, and they can smell, you know, if you're as a man, not that I would know because I've never had a small house because I've never been married. But when your small house leaves you, just know bad fortune has come your way because they're the first to smell. They're like rats. They're the first to smell death around someone's fortunes.
Follow the small houses.
Yeah, no.
In a disaster, just so always follow.
So I'm sure Emerson's girlfriend's out there. Maybe she's hanging out with Pablo's.
Ko akutozvi invite ra small house wega.
Yeah.
Shagao masho.
May I want to be a small house of a small house? So kapiye pa ano chikuri roa 1.5 ka. You want chikuri roa 500? Tese tojka.
5 years eh you. I think, you know, if I was a small house and I pack a 20 to bring a pizza in.
No, I'm a big man. I can't live on pizza alone.
Who did the work?
But anyway, sorry. Just
to clarify.
To clarify the charges against Martha O'Donovan. who's a 25-year-old American, is how they did it, or the allegations surrounding her, that on 22 October 2017, investigations revealed that the Twitter account at Matigari was accessed via Zimbabwean online internet. So Zol sold people out. So don't use Zol anymore, guys. And it goes on to give a IP address and the version of Mac that she was running. And it also says that she used Onion Router Tor. This is all information that would have been supplied by Zol. And it said that she is only one of the administrators of the account, and the tweet that she actually sent out that they can prove from when she was logged in is, "We're being led by a selfish and sick man." And the attachment, and that was sent on the 11th of October, 2017. And that's, that attachment included a picture of the goblin. And so the two counts are...
Let me correct you, Ipapo. It's President of the Republic of Zimbabwe, Commander of the Defense Forces, Vice Chancellor of all the universities, and Supreme Leader.
Okay.
President Gabriel Mugabe. Robert Gabriel Mugabe.
Your words, not mine.
Go on. I'm not going down for your words.
So yeah, her first count is subverting a constitutional government as defined by Section 22. The Pastor Evan Mawere charge. And the second one is undermining authority or insulting president as defined in Section 33, the AC Lumumba charge. but Section 22, you're undermining a constitutionally elected government, is definitely past the advance clause. But yeah, so those, just to provide clarity on what the actual charges are. And I'm sure we'll be hearing more about this and more from everyone. We'll keep updating on the story. But yeah, I think for me, that's it. I don't know about you, Benny.
Well, I just wanted to add that, you know, seeing as what's happened with the American election and Russia, you know, they had congressional hearings about Russia buying adverts on Facebook and Twitter. I just wonder if it's not safer for the American citizens in Zimbabwe for America to use that strategy, use Facebook. But, you know, just my insipapu. And then, you know, likewise for the Zimbabwean government, please hire me.
you want to be part of Page Twitter, please?
Yes, exactly. Please hire us. We're here for you. Yeah. But otherwise, that's all I have to say. Stay safe. Please don't retweet.
Retweet.
Don't retweet in general. Just don't. Stay out of jail, guys.
And where can people find you on Twitter?
You think I'm going to give out my Twitter handles now? But yeah.
Are you seriously not going to do this?
No.
All right, well, you can find me at Upenyu. I'm joking. So you can find me at Henry Beattie, and I'll be tweeting treasonous things because I have the pleasure of being far away from Zimbabwe. But stay safe out there, people. It's squeaky bum time. Taukuma gumo. So I think the government is going to be bad. But at the end of the day, the only thing we can do is register to vote and then vote and vote for the right people. Even if you're just simply voting against whatever you think is wrong in the country, it's still better. Just make sure you register to vote and vote. The BVR's phase two is out now. Go and have a look. Kubatana.net has got all the centers around. There's a couple of apps on Android where all the centers are. It takes 10 to 15 minutes max. Please, please, please go and register to vote.
That's
it for me.
Sorry, go ahead. Okay. For anyone who has an interest in what's happening in Parliament, the Parliament of Zimbabwe has an app. Just look up Zimbabwe Parliament or Parliament of Zimbabwe on Google Play or wherever it is you download your applications. Yeah. On the App Store. And stay informed. There's more than one way to engage with governance, and it's not simply social media. I think please register to vote. It's very important. I keep hearing people asking, why should I register to vote? And this is exactly why you should register to vote, because you shouldn't be afraid to retweet or even tweet your opinion. Comment is free. Where it should be anyway. So, yes, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye.